We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. This is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is our awesome brother in Christ, Mr. Rick Spain. How are you doing this morning, sir?
It's only because I'm with awesome people in this room. There's awesome people out there listening.
It's because we got an awesome sauce God.
That's right. That's it. I'm glad you brought that up. That's the truth.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located at New Liberty, 18304 East 1140 Road, Sayre. Pastor, Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey. Today is Thursday. We will have a word from Pastor Dwight following the program. The word from him today will be the comfort of God. So after this, we'll get the iPad reset up, and we'll go live again with a word from Pastor Dwight. So make sure you tune into that, too. Get a double blessing today, y'all.
Yeah. You know, somebody was asking me here in the room this morning if I have a corrective message today. And then she finishes up, well, that's all right, because Pastor Dwight's got a comforting message. So you might want to listen to both of them this morning. You know, and the Lord gives me something to speak, and sometimes he has me write it out, and sometimes he doesn't. Maybe that's part of me. I don't know. But anyway, might need your steel toes today.
I'll just pick
them
up.
We'll find out. We'll find out. You know, we rely on Holy Spirit.
I got my Band-Aid. Yeah. If you hurt my feelings, I got my Band-Aid.
Yeah. Just make sure you have them feelings covered up. Don't let them hanging out. Don't leave them hanging out.
Would you pray to start us out?
Yeah, Father, we love you and bless you. We thank you for this day, Lord God. This is the day you created. This is a time that you created for us, Lord God, and I'm thanking you for it. I thank you, Lord God, that in our confinement of time, Lord God, that you are not. Lord, I pray that you meet us in the area of our need, Lord God. Give us wisdom on what, when, and how to do, Lord God. And I thank you that you never leave, you never forsake. Lord, help us to see. Give us your eyes to see and your ears to hear. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm not sure how I feel about your title. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
First Kings 19 and John 6 through 8.
Yeah, and I know that's vague, you know, because I'm just going to pull out of these, and I may go into some more of John, because I go through periods where I'm enamored with the Father, and then I'm enamored with the Holy Spirit, and then I'm enamored with Jesus. Well, so now I'm going through this period of, golly, Jesus was awesome. Hey, I mean, it spins my head around to watch, to hear, to see what he did, you know. And so that's what there's a journey here I want to go through with Jesus this morning. But like I said, I don't really have any notes, but we got the Word of God, and we've got the anointing of God. Holy Spirit's here this morning, and the Holy Spirit's there with you too, whether you feel him or not. Just open your heart, open up your mind to what he has to say, not what any of us have to say, what he has to say. He'll speak to you. So, you know, I'm just reminded, have you ever walked in a room where there's a small child in there, and they're off in a corner somewhere, and they're doing something, you know, and you walk up and you say, "What are you doing?" And all of a sudden, you know, it's just jump, and they're maybe hiding something. Or it just reminds me of one time when my 30-year-old daughter was, I think she was 3 or 4 years old. I think 3. And we're sitting in the living room watching TV, and all of a sudden, she comes out of one of the rooms. She says, "The house is on fire. The house is on fire." You know, and so we're kind of freaking out a little bit. And so we go back and we look in there, and behind the door, there was a burn spot there. It's about softball size, you know. And come to find out, she had gotten a lighter, and she had lit the carpet, and that burn spot remained there for a while. Yeah, but anyway, you know, it's and the thought is, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing? I'm just going to tell you guys that I'm going to speak out of my heart this morning. And is that heart completely perfect in God's eyes? Through the blood of Christ, it is. But there may be some imperfect things in there. I just want to warn you. So, you know, one thing I want to say is I'm done, tired, and over with playing church. I'm tired and over with it. You know, and I've played church. You know, I've done that. You know, look good on the outside, and the inside's full of dead man bones. You know, so it's and I mean, this is the message God has put in me. You know, and I've just been fearful to speak it out. You know, we are in a time today where the end is not far away. We've got people walking all around us that don't know the love of God. They may know the name God. They may even know the name Jesus. But they don't know the love that he has. You know, and how, you know, God doesn't come down here and have conversations with people and say, "Hey, this is who I am." He gave that responsibility to us. You know, and so my heart is grieved and burning with this message. You know, so that, like I said, you might need your steel toes today. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. Holy Spirit knows how it's going to go. But I've got some text here what I want to go over. You know, the first one is you know, I've probably taught and preached out of this 1 Kings 18 and 19. They go together. You know, just numerous times. Because it's one of those that always grabs my attention. So first of all, Elijah is challenging the prophets of Baal. you know, and says, hey, you know, let's go up there on this mountain. And he's saying, talking to the people, he say, let's prove this stuff. If Baal's God, let's serve him. If God is God, what's the default? You know, and so they get up there and providing the sacrifices, you know, and Elijah says, you guys go first. You know, let's see this fire from heaven, you know, to consume the sacrifice. So they spend all day long praying, cutting themselves, doing whatever you have to do to make Baal happy. Nothing happens. And so Elijah gets up there and he says, okay, I want you to rebuild this altar here. And, you know, we're going to stack all the wood. And then he says, let's dig a hole all the way around it. So I want you to pour water on that sacrifice. And he says, do it again and do it again. You know, so it's covered. It's soaked with water. Water is standing all around it. And so he basically just says, okay, God, you're a God. Show him your stuff. And boom, fire comes down out of heaven, and it says it burned up that sacrifice and licked up all that water. What's so endearing to that term? Does that catch you when it says it even licked up the water? You know, it's like, wow, you know, it not just the sacrifice, it got all the water too. Yeah, that part's always connected to me. So, and then Jezebel comes along, and she sees he's decimated. So let me tell you about Jezebel. Jezebel was not Jewish. She wasn't an Israelite. And so what happened is back in those days, what they would do is that they would intermarry with the royalty of other countries. And this is what happened. So Ahab marries the daughter of, she's the daughter of some other country, and I can't remember what it was. And so that was kind of a way to produce a truce or a peace treaty or whatever to benefit. You know, marriage was a benefit thing back then. So that's how Jezebel gets in the picture. So going back to Jezebel, some scholars believe that she was not only the princess of this king, she was also one of the big religious leaders. So she was the prophetess of Baal, you know, and so we look at the effects of her life and what's stated here in God's word. I mean, that kind of lines up. So she was kind of the priestess of, you know, she's the overseer of all this stuff. She's the one that introduced it through Ahab. So anyway, she comes to Elijah and says, you just done made a mistake. Now, sorry if I use this country English, but that's who I am. Sorry. You made a mistake, and if you're not dead by the end of this day, something's wrong. And so what did Elijah do? You know, he just prayed to the God of heaven who brought fire out of heaven to consume the sacrifice. What did Elijah do? Well, go ahead and bring your bad stuff. No, that's not what he did. He hightailed and he ran. And so then we see that he ends up on this mountain in a cave. And so as he's standing there, you know, the voice of the Lord says, what are you doing here, Elijah? And this is what Elijah said. He says, I've been very zealous for the Lord, for the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They have torn down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So Have you ever been there? I got two ladies in here nodding their head. You know what? I'm going to nod my head too. I've been in that place where, you know, I thought I was doing everything right and doing this right, doing that right, and all of a sudden my world falls apart. And it's like, well, you know, Lord, you could at least warn me that this was coming. You know, seriously, really. I mean, that is something that I have said. You could have at least warned me. It's like, hey, don't you even care? You know, to answer that question, because it was a question, and this is a side thought. He did warn me. I just didn't see it. You know, and so it's interesting that God gets blamed for a lot of things that he really has nothing to do with. And that's one of the big problems in our world, in the church. And so what happens, you know, we have a default button on the inside of us, folks. And when we experience hurt, what happens is it's a developed pattern in our life, and it's what you would call a default. What's the default? That is, okay, so your program's running like it should be running, and something happens in there that it locks it up. And so what do? You go to a default. Now, it's not as good as the regular program, but you can still do some stuff through that default, you know. And so that's kind of the way it is with us. We're just a highly sophisticated computer that sometimes our program gets messed up and we go to a default. And so I'm just telling you human nature. This is what happens. And so what we learn in this default status is mainly protection. Protection. We come into a protective covering. And so what do we use in that protective covering? Well, it could be alcohol, could be drugs, could be you put it in there. You know, whatever it may be. You know, we fall back to that because we know this is something we have control over. We think we do. You know, when we're in this normal program, we thought God was in control of all this stuff, but obviously not. No, I'm speaking out here, guys. God never loses control. Never, ever. Never, ever, ever, ever. Ever, ever. I'm telling you. But he doesn't control everything. So that he has given to us. And so we're affected by our own decisions, but not only that, we're affected by other people's decisions. And so when we get into this default category of life, so whatever it is that we partake of, use, or gather to ourselves to bring that protective feeling again, even though it doesn't do it, Monica, you know this, and I know it. I've found myself in this place before, and when I come out of it, because God is a deliverer, hallelujah. If he wasn't a deliverer, Rick Spain would not be sitting here today. I promise you. Probably wouldn't. You know, if we want to be truthful, I probably wouldn't be alive. Yeah. So, you know, we get on the other side of this and we look back and think, why in the world did I do that? What was I thinking? You know, and so this brings us back to the question, what are you doing? That's what God said to Elijah. What are you doing? Elijah was running from the problem. But he was doing more than that. He was running from God. Been there, done that. So, what happens? So, after this, it says, God says, go out there and stand at the mouth of the cave. And it says there was a mighty wind that blew. It's blowing the rocks, so it's tornado effect. You know, it's, and it says God wasn't in that. He says there was a earthquake. You know, the earth shook all around. Said God wasn't in that. And said there's a fire. There's a fire that comes up. All these disasters presenting themselves. It says God wasn't in that. Why is that in there? Why did that part get put in there? You know, so God's going to meet with Elijah. So why did we have this other stuff come in there? You know, wind, fire, earthquake. You know, these are natural things which some people say God uses to execute judgment. And what does the scripture say? God's not in that. He's not in that. Whatever's going on in your life right now, the earthquake, the wind, the fire, whatever you put to it, wherever it connects, God's not in it. I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not him. The devil's lying to you, folks. How can I say that? Because I've got the experience, I know. I spent 4 years of my life where I said, I just don't want to trust you anymore, God. And that's what I call my 4 years of self-imposed hell, because that's what it was. It was living a life, not taking God out of the picture. No, he's not out of the picture, but he's not my main picture. My main picture is default. I just need security. If I can't trust God, I got to produce this security. You know, and so what brought that about is because I believed what the devil said. I didn't know it's the devil, but I believed that God was the source of what caused me to drop back in this default mode. He wasn't. And so, see, I want you to understand this morning that God, that the enemy has a way of disguising himself. So the Bible calls it that he comes in as an angel of light. And it can be confusing to us because everything is pointing to God. But God's not even in it. He's not in that fire, not in that earthquake. He's not in that wind. And so Elijah's standing there at the cave, the mouth of the cave. And then a still, small voice came. You know, it's interesting. I've heard people say that God has spoken to them in a loud voice. I've never heard him speak to me in a loud voice. I'm not saying that that's not possible, and I'm not saying that God doesn't do that. But most of the time when God speaks, he speaks with a still, small voice. It's something on the inside of you. It's not something you hear with your ears. It's something you hear with your heart. And the problem with the still small voice is you got to listen. You got to listen. And so he goes on and he asks the question again. He says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Well, Elijah done got this figured out. And so that's what we typically do when we're facing something. I'm talking difficult situation where you want to just resort back to that default mode. You know, just go climb the bed, throw the pillow over your head, and just hope it all goes away. You know, just get away. Get away from it. You know, and so what do we do in this default mode? Well, we're figuring out, why are we here? What did we do? How do we get out of this? And this is what Elijah's doing. He says, well, basically, they're taking every one of your reps out. God, they're taking them all out. I'm the last one you got. Doesn't look like you're going to help me in this situation either. I mean, that's what he's saying. He says it in a respectful way because, you know, this is God. You know, and he said, they're fixing to take me out too. So, you know, I'm just doing you a favor here. I found this cave just so you'll have one guy left here. No, seriously. If you got a problem, what are you doing? You're figuring out how you can solve that problem. We're fixing to go to a break, but I want to share something with you because this is problem-solving skills. So you have different types of problems in your life. You have problems that need to be dealt with right now. Problems you can take care of. You got some problems you're working on. You know, it's going to take a little time, but you're working on them. And then you got problems that, man, you don't have any control over it. The first thing you got to recognize, what kind of problem are you facing? Because when you lump all these problems together, you know what happens? You can't or don't even take care of the problems that you can take care of. You got to separate these. You know, I've told you guys about the analogy that I have. On the inside of me, I've got a cooktop. Remember? Got that cooktop. Four burners. You know, and so the front burners, that's, man, I'm cooking something quick. Well, you know what? I'm a guy, so most of what I cook's on that front burner. You know, I'm not a back burner cook. I don't want to give you that impression. But I got that cooktop. So on the front burner, it's something I'm going to take care of right away. This other burner over here to the right, because I'm working on the left, that's my favorite burner. That on the right, well, that's, you know, it's going to take a little time. But, you know, I got this stew. And it's got to go way back there, you know, and stir it every once in a while, you know. But that's the way it is with problems. You got to recognize, what kind of problem are you dealing with? Is it something you can take care of? Take care of it. Get it out of the way. Because there's going to be another one come up. Don't waste your time. Just take care of it. You know, and this other deal here, you're working on it. Don't over-focus on that. It's going to be taken care of. The thing you don't have control over, that's the best place you can be in. Oh, man. Rick, you don't know what you're talking about. I know. It don't feel good. It does not feel good. But you know what? That's the one God is already working on. don't forget this. When you work, God rests. But when you rest, God works. Rest on that one. Work on the ones you can take care of. Amen. All right, let's take a break.